I was out of town on a trip for a while, and when I came back, I was surprised to see how much it had been raining around here, and we weren't into brown Colorado yet, and it's already into June, and things are so kind of green and lush. It was kind of a nice surprise, though, of course, rain has its complications, and so we're hoping that it'll hold off, and I know it will this evening for our summer festival, though we do have alternative plans if we need to have them. And I remember on Friday I had a wedding, and it was definitely in the afternoon, kind of looking stormy and a little wet out there. And I tried to reassure the groom, you know, telling him, "Don't worry, you know, rain is a sign of blessing." And he just kind of looked at me. It's just definitely skeptical, you know. And yeah, tell that to the bride, right? And so, you know, water can be a very powerful thing, and that's why it also is used as an image of the Holy Spirit. There's many different images of the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's divine, a divine person, a divine reality. So there's not one single description or image that exhausts who the Holy Spirit is. Especially, he's kind of the most mysterious of the Holy Trinity. We can know the Holy Spirit as fire. You know, like on Pentecost itself, the tongues of fire, or the fire on top of Mount Sinai that maybe expresses the power, the transforming power of God. We can know the Holy Spirit as wind, or as the breath of God, the life breath, ruach of God, who blows where he wills, maybe expressing that kind of that sovereignty of the Holy Spirit and divine freedom. The Holy Spirit can be known as oil, as anointing. You know, this, in that sense, the Holy Spirit as a gift, and as a gift who then kind of marks us and claims us for God. Just like when David was made the new king by Samuel. Samuel poured a horn of oil on his head, and it said from that moment forward, the Spirit was rushing upon him. Well, with water, I think we definitely have a beautiful reality, and I'd like to focus on the water image for the Holy Spirit this year, and thinking about Pentecost as really the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the one whom we know from the Creed as the Lord, the giver of life. And so the Holy Spirit comes to us, you know, from the Father, through Jesus Christ, the Son, who's now ascended to heaven. He has entered his glory, and now the Holy Spirit comes. Holy Spirit pours out from the superabundance of God, of his eternal life and love. Out of this infinite richness of God's life and existence, the Spirit comes forth and is poured upon us. And that's what we can really meditate on and really receive in a deep way, just like how Peter, in trying to explain Pentecost, would point to the prophet Joel, in which the Lord said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And so this idea of the Spirit as water is something that Jesus himself would speak of. In John chapter 7, Jesus says that, you know, for all who believe in him, rivers of living water will flow from within them, from their hearts. And so this living water, this divine water of the Holy Spirit comes to us with great effect. One great saint, his name is Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. He lived in the 300s, is very instrumental in helping us have the creed that we use in Mass today. He made an analogy of the Holy Spirit with rainwater. You know, and he would kind of see like, yeah, rainwater, it's always water, it's the same substance wherever it lands, but it produces all these many different fruitful effects according to the plant that's being watered by it. And so too for Christians. It's the same Lord, the same Spirit who comes to us, and yet at the same time, the effects are so varied between all the different souls in many and marvelous ways, as he describes it. And so that's what St. Paul is speaking about in our second reading from 1 Corinthians, how he notes that, you know, we are all given to drink of one Spirit, and yet there's this beautiful multitude of effects that the Spirit works. St. Paul says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. Jesus so much wanted to have us know the Father, and in knowing the Father, to receive this great, great gift of the Father, the Spirit. And so today's the chance to really, again, receive those living waters of the Spirit in faith, and then hope for the fruitfulness that comes from that. Because that water produces many different things. The Holy Spirit, you know, gives us sanctifying grace to save us from original sin and from that domination by sin, and to break us free of that and restore us to relationship, friendship with God, and that powerful foundational grace of sanctifying grace. And then the Holy Spirit gives us the different gifts in which the Holy Spirit can kind of act through us. And Holy Spirit gives us theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. But another thing that the church has meditated on as part of the fruitfulness of this divine living water, the gift of the Spirit, are what are in fact called the fruits of the Spirit. And I'd like to just look at those fruits a little bit and how we can be disposed to those fruits. So the fruits of the Spirit, they come from originally St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And then over time, the church has developed a list of 12 of these fruits. And what the fruits are is they're not just like, okay, I need to do this. They're actually perfections that the Holy Spirit forms within us. The Spirit brings forth these fruits within us. So here are the 12, and I'm going to just slowly, kind of meditatively say them and be open to maybe what the Holy Spirit is underlining or inviting you to have more fruitfulness, more of that fruit of the Spirit. And then we'll ask the Spirit to give us that. So here they are, the 12. The 12 fruits of the Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. Which one of those, or which few of those, were you maybe drawn to, wanting that fruit of the Spirit more powerfully in your life? Well, let's think about those and ask the Holy Spirit right now to strengthen that. I'll say them again, and then we'll ask the Lord for those. Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, we call you to come to us, and we thank you that you dwell within us and among us, and that you give us these beautiful fruits, that Christ would be known in the world and the Father would be glorified. We give you thanks for how you are present in our lives in many ways, in many hidden ways. And we ask you in trust and in confidence and in gratitude for graces already received, that you would increase these fruits within us. And as each of the faithful here in their hearts now call out to you for a particular fruit, Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, we ask you to grant that and to develop that and perfect that even in their lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, O Holy Spirit. Bring forth these fruits for us and for the kingdom. Amen. These fruits of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, come from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in his letter, he also, I think, gives a few pointers about how we can be disposed for these, because it's not just an automatic thing, but how can we be disposed to the working of the Spirit to bring forth these fruits. And I think he highlights three dispositions for us to have that I want to share with you. The first of those is that he calls and he tells the Galatians, he tells us that we should have a life oriented towards service. He says to them and to us that we are to serve one another through love. To have that fundamental disposition of wanting the good of another, of treasuring them and wanting to give myself as a gift, having that generous disposition towards others. And really, this is just imaging who God is. God, in his, as I said, his great overflowing abundance of love towards us, pours out his Spirit upon us. And if we're in the image and likeness of God, if we have been clothed in Christ, well, then we kind of share in that same fundamental attitude of out of the abundance of grace, out of the abundance of life that we are given to overflow to others and to help them to flourish and that good things come to fruition in their lives. And so to have a fundamentally oriented disposition of, yes, I want good for others and I want to be active and overflowing in my life and not just simply kind of self-focused and self-referential and kind of trapped in that, but instead letting the Spirit flow through me and then through me out to others. So serve one another through love. And then St. Paul tells us that we are to resist the flesh. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. It's so important. He's not against the body. The body is fundamentally good. It's a gift from God. It's part of our humanity. When St. Paul speaks about the flesh, just like in the Gospel of John, it's that bodily existence that is oriented away from God, that is self-exalting, that instead looks to have passions and desires that might be kind of out of control in our lives or demanding to attend to those rather than the good things God wants to give us, to live in a worldly way of comparison with others and of ego, and all of that is the flesh, as St. Paul would say. And he's saying to us that we've got to keep that in check and really work for deep conversion in our lives away from all of those things. Because if we want these fruits of the Spirit, we can't be living in the flesh at the same time. The Holy Spirit is not magic. Having the right disposition of heart and love is so paramount for us. Jesus kind of points to that in our gospel today. What he says is, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. So there's kind of this combination that in loving Jesus, we strive to keep his commandments, his way of living, the mission he has given us, his teachings. And then doing that, Jesus asked the Father then to give us the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us always. And so if we're living in a way that is keeping the commandments of Christ, that crucifies kind of unruly passions and desires in my life, that creates that space for that advocate, for that divine water to bring forth the fruit. And then the final disposition, along with that serving one another in love and that working against the demands of the flesh, is finally to have a docility, an openness to the guidance of the Spirit. As St. Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. In this, I think we should know that the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. He wants to give us good counsel and help us move through life and to continue to grow in holiness, to grow in that perfection of charity. And the Spirit is often, very frequently, giving us little promptings and guidance and inspirations. And it's important for us to be resolved to respond to those. If we live in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead, right? I have a friend, Deacon Chuck Lamar, who maybe some of you know. He used to serve here. He's up in Breckenridge and Silverthorne. And a few years ago, he really just made the resolution, like ironclad, I will follow the inspirations of the Holy Spirit as best as I can. Whenever I can tell that, I think it's a Spirit who's calling me to something, I'm going to go for it, you know? And he just has a very simple rule. He's like, if it's not something dangerous or sinful or selfish, you know, I think I'm going to just go for it. And he's had kind of like this Holy Spirit adventure life the last few years of just encounters, you know, chance encounters, like in the grocery store, or somebody sees who needs help and he decides to not just keep driving, but to actually invest in them, and all kinds of different ways that he has really beautifully experienced the Holy Spirit working through him as he tries to follow the Spirit's lead. You know, and you know, it doesn't always work out how he's expecting when the Spirit blows as he wills, but in keeping kind of that guidelines of not dangerous, sinful, or selfish, it's actually worked quite beautifully for him. But there always is, along with that need to discern. And I think it's important that we always follow the Spirit's promptings within the context of the body of Christ that St. Paul himself speaks of, not just kind of quixotically on our own, just kind of coming up with ways to do things. But yes, open the Spirit, but always in the body. We see that in the church from the very beginning. At the very beginning, the apostles and disciples came together because there's a big debate, and it's right in the Acts of the Apostles. What do we do with these Gentiles that want to become Christians? One party was insisting that, well, they need to become Jews first, and then they can move on to becoming Christians. Because, you know, that salvation, it's for the Jews. But then St. Paul and Barnabas and others argued, no, that this salvation in Christ is meant for all peoples, for all the Gentiles to directly come to Christ and the Holy Spirit. And they ended up kind of winning that debate at this first Council of Jerusalem. And so the apostles sent a message out to the Gentile Christians to reaffirm them. And they couched it in these terms. They said, it is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. That is the apostles, that is the church. And so I think in following promptings of the Spirit, we always have to keep that in the context of the life of the church. Sometimes it goes a little haywire, kind of trying to follow good inspirations. My new job I'll be having in July, I've been told, okay, I need to deal with when I begin. There's a priest of the archdiocese who, he ended up sending out a fundraising request for his parish to all the parishes in the country. Now, like when I was told that, I thought, well, that's like an exaggeration. And I'm finding out that actually it's not an exaggeration. Like he did this like mailing campaign to all the Catholic churches in the country asking for money for his parish. And the archdiocese is getting all these emails like, hey, who is this guy? And why is he sending us a solicitation for funds? And not a great idea. You know, I understand, you know, he wants his parish to be, you know, well-funded, and the offertories might be a little soft these days. Please be generous. But you need to discern these decisions, and that wasn't maybe a really well-discerned one. But I think often enough, we don't tend towards maybe doing too much because we think the Holy Spirit is calling us, but way too often we kind of squelch those inspirations. Ah, I don't know if I can fit that in my life, or I don't know how this is going to work out. You know, I don't know if I can do that. All those little voices of can't do this, don't do that, all of those tend to kind of extinguish those inspirations of the Spirit. So I think it's more important for us to lean into those and be open to how the Spirit guides us. And so my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is this incredible outpouring of the abundance of God, this living water, this divine life, who wants to bring us in the gift of himself fully alive as well. It's important to be open to that by having a life oriented towards loving service, to resisting the enclosed life of the flesh, and also then having that openness to how the Spirit leads. Let me just one more time open up to you and say to you again those fruits of the Spirit. And just as I say them, ask the Spirit, and when you come for Holy Communion, ask the Spirit through that gift of communion to strengthen that fruit in your life. Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity.